Well, we come towards the end of another year. Just a few more days left, and we'll soon be in 2014. And at the end of the year, I guess it's a good thing to ask a question, and in reviewing the past months, and to ask, well, what have I done in these months that have gone by? What have I done? Well, some of you have got married and graduated and moved house and begun to expect the imminent arrival of a newborn. Some have travelled internationally for work, for sport, to visit family. Some have found jobs, lost jobs, homeschooled kids, and the list could go on. Some may feel that they've achieved a lot in 2013. Others may feel they've barely survived 2013. But that's not really the question that I'm asking when I ask this question, what have I done? That is not the question that is suggested by our text this evening in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6, where the Lord says that no man relents of his evil, saying, what have I done? The focus of the question is found in its context. The context is that of Israel's departure from God. This text is written by Jeremiah as Israel is in its time of demise. It is immediately before they are overrun by the Babylonians and swept off into captivity. That was the era in which Jeremiah wrote. And it's within that context that this question is raised. Wickedness is rampant in the land. No one seems to be seeking after God. No one does good. No, not one, to take the words of Paul quoting the Psalms. Yes, it is a day in which the depravity of the hearts of men is seen in its most vile way, as these people who have received the law of God, received the tradition handed down from the elders, who have received the sacrificial system that was given by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, and all the blessings associated with that, these people have plumbed the depths of depravity as they bring their own children and sacrifice them. It wasn't a thing that even crossed the thoughts of God's mind. He had not commanded it. But this is what the people have done, copying and imitating the nations around them. Even their religious rituals have become so far removed from what God has commanded to them. And yet, God says, in the midst of their evil, no one is saying, what have I done? People are not asking, what have I done with the things God has taught me? The things that have been handed down from generation to generation. The teachings that God had commanded the parents should teach their children concerning the Lord. What have I done with the instructions God has given me for the way I ought to live, the way I ought to conduct myself, the way I ought to worship God? No one's asking these questions. And it's really in that context that I want us to consider this question briefly this evening. And really, all I'm wanting to do is to sow this seed thought in your minds to contemplate over these coming days. That you should ask yourself, what have I done? What have I done with the revelation of God to me during 2013? What have I done with all that I have come to know of God and of his ways and of myself and of my need through the preaching of the word during 2013? As Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday, we have met together and God has spoken to us through his word. We must ask the question, what have I done with it? Has it made any difference to my life? Has it impacted me at all? As we've worked our way through a number of chapters of the book of Romans on Sunday mornings during this year, where we've learned about the wrath of God that abides upon sinners, that there is no one who is righteous, no, not one, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that there is salvation to be found through the Son of God incarnate, through Jesus Christ who came in order to be a representative for his people. That there are those who may be justified and stand as righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith in Jesus Christ, that union with Jesus Christ, brings the power of the Spirit into our lives so that we may live for him. We've learned all of that during our Sunday morning gatherings. But what have we done with it? What impact has it had upon our lives? What have I done with this greater understanding of the sinfulness of my heart? What have I done with my increased comprehension of the love of God for me in Christ Jesus, in which he sent his Son to be my representative, to stand in my place, to bear my iniquities, and to give me his Spirit so that I may live to him? What have I done with that? Has it impacted my life at all? Have I just come here Sunday after Sunday and gone from here and it's made no difference? Perhaps a little bit more head knowledge, but nothing's changed in my life. What have I done with this revelation of God? Or on Sunday evenings, as we've worked our way through the book of Exodus and we've seen the power of God to deliver those who trust in him, or to judge and condemn and punish those who resist him. What have I done with that? Have I humbled myself before the living God and pleaded with him that he might make me one of those whom he is willing to rescue, willing to carry upon his shoulders as a shepherd carries a wandering sheep that he has found and brings it back to the fold? We've studied the law of God in recent weeks, and we've looked at the depth and breadth of the application of that law. But what have I done with it? Has it affected my life at all? Has it stirred me to a greater diligence and watchfulness of the words that I say and the things that I do, the places that I go and the people that I'm with? What have I done with this revelation of God, by which he seeks to guide me in paths of righteousness and lead me away from the paths of wickedness that are the lot of those around me in the world? We've seen in the Psalms the glory of God and the blessings upon those who trust in God, that even when everything seems to be falling apart in their lives, their trust in God is an anchor, it is a shield, it is a defense, it's a stronghold, it's a place of safety, it's a place of nourishment, it's a place of confidence and hope. Has it had any impact upon me? What have I done with these things that I have learned concerning God? Has it given me confidence in my life? Has it enabled me to stand firm in my faith in the midst of difficulties that have come my way? Has it enabled me to glorify God even when things do seem to be all messed up in my life? What have I done with this revelation that God has given to me concerning himself and his dealings with me? And we've seen in our midweek meetings the blessedness of those who fear the Lord. Those who lived before him with a reverential awe because of all his love, because of all his grace, because of his forgiveness, because of his power, his justice, his mercy, all of these things concerning God that ought to cause us to bow down and worship him and honor and glorify him in our lives. And the blessings that are theirs for those who fear him. The blessedness of sins forgiven, of eternal life, of a hope of glory, of the presence of his Spirit to guide and help them through life. What have I done with this revelation of God? Has it made any difference in my life this year? Furthermore, not only is there the revelation of God to us in his word that we have heard Sunday by Sunday and Wednesday by Wednesday, but we can ask the question, what have I done with my time? What have I done with my gifts? What have I done with my resources? If I'm a Christian, then God has called me out of slavery to sin so that I may serve him, so that I may give my life in worship of him. That means that everything that I am and everything that I have belongs to God. It is for his glory. It is for the service of his kingdom. What have I done during this year with my time, with my gifts, with my resources? Has anything been devoted to the service and glory of God? Or have I kept it all for selfish ends? What have I done this year? This is a question that we must ask ourselves. We mustn't be afraid to ask this question and to ask the Lord to search our hearts and see if there is any wicked way in us, as the psalmist says. We would not want to be like these people to whom Jeremiah is writing. It was a tragic situation that they had departed so far from the ways of God without, it seems, realizing it. They came and they worshipped God and they thought that they were okay. It says in verse 10 of chapter 7, they come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered, only to go on doing all these abominations. And look at the condemnation of God upon them. He speaks to Jeremiah in verse 16 and he says to Jeremiah the prophet, as for you, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer for them. Do not intercede with me, for I will not hear you. Things have got to a point in Israel where God has determined that the punishment that he has warned them of over and over and over again will now fall upon them. Jeremiah is instructed, do not pray for them. Do not intercede with me for this people. I have made my decision. The time for repentance is over. Punishment is about to fall upon them. We don't want to be like them. We must ask this question. We must examine our lives. We must ask ourselves, what have I done? We mustn't be lulled into a false sense of security that has no basis in God's word, thinking that God is pleased with us when he's actually departed from us. These people haven't asked, what have I done? They are, to all intents and purposes, unbelievers. The context shows that this question was asked of those who didn't care about God. They weren't following God. They weren't serving God. They weren't seeking to honor God. They weren't seeking to submit to God and his law. And so it may be that this question ought to be asked of you. What have you done this year that could possibly bring you peace with God? What have you done this year that could possibly bring you, give you a hope for the future? Are you really trusting in Jesus Christ? Is he really your Savior? Or don't you care? Do you just go through the motions of worshiping God when your heart is not engaged in it? What have you done with the gift of God in Jesus Christ? What have you done with the Savior of sinners who have come into the world? You remember the words of John in his gospel where he says he came to his own and his own people didn't recognize him. His own people rejected him. Have you done that with the Savior? To all outward appearances, it seems as though things are fine, but in your heart, you're not trusting in Jesus. You're not walking with Jesus. You're not seeking to honor and glorify Jesus by submitting to him. This is an important question for us to ask. What have I done with the many blessings that God has showered upon this world? That all who call upon him in repentance and faith receive eternal life, a life that is to be lived for his honor and glory. You know, there's another question that can be asked. It's a question that Nebuchadnezzar talks about in Daniel chapter 4. After Nebuchadnezzar had been humiliated because of his pride and arrogance, when God had worked a work in him and caused him to see reality as it was from God's perspective, in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, he says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" But that's the question that is often on our lips. Maybe not vocalized, but we think it in our minds at times. We ask God, "What have you done?" And it's done in an accusing, critical tone. "What have you done? Look at my life. What have you done? Look at this trouble I'm in. What have you done? You're a sovereign God. Why have you brought me here to this place at this time under these circumstances? What have you done?" But as Paul says, should the creature say to the Creator, "Why are you doing this with me?" No, that's the wrong question to be asking, you see. It is not of God, "What have you done?" It is, "What have I done? Have I responded to the love of God, to the mercy of God, to the favor of God? Have I taken as his free gift to me, the life that he offers to all who will stop trusting themselves, stop living for themselves, and devote themselves to him?" We point the accusing finger at God instead of bowing in humility before him. And I want you to think seriously and carefully over the next few days as this year draws to a close, and to say, "What have I done? God has shown such love. God has been so merciful towards me. God has revealed his truth to me. God has given me gifts. What have I done with all of these treasures, these riches that God has given to me?" And may we enter into the new year with a desire to honor and glorify him more consistently than we have perhaps in this past year. to grow to love him more and to serve him better. Not with any kind of New Year's resolution that can't be kept, but with a dependence upon him. He is our rock. He is our salvation. In him we trust, and doing so, for him we live. Let's pray. Our Father God, it is right that we should be challenged by your word. It is right that we should be stopped in our tracks and caused to meditate upon our condition. It is right that we should pause to assess our state before you. And it is a mercy when you come to us with this convicting question, so that we might not continue in a false sense of security, but that we might humbly examine ourselves before you and by the help of your Spirit see if there is any wicked way in us, any way in which we have ignored the truth that you have brought to our minds and hearts during the year, any way in which we have failed to use our gifts and resources, our time and energy for your honour and glory. Father, we are so thankful to you that you are a long-suffering God, that you are a patient God. But we're challenged by the fact that you will not always strive with man, that there comes a day of reckoning, not just the day of judgment at the end of the world, but there can come a point in our lives when you have done all that you will do, to be patient and merciful. Father, help us all to be sober-minded and to be thankful for all that we have in Christ Jesus and to live for his honour and glory in the year that lies ahead. And I pray that you would show mercy to those in our midst this evening who are walking in sin's paths, who are separated from God by their rebellion. Father, I pray that you would be merciful to them. I pray that you would give them the spirit of understanding, that you would give them the gift of repentance and faith, that you would turn them from their sinful career and bring them into the paths of righteousness. I pray, Almighty God, that there may be rejoicing in the days to come because sinners have come to repentance and there is a new life born, a new servant in your kingdom's work. Lord, we look to you. We pray that you would give us understanding and give us the strength to respond with obedience. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.